Psalm 56, and the song she sang, that was a song that David wrote, and we'll read this psalm and make some comments on it, and hopefully it'll be a help to you. Psalm 56. Now, if you would like to stand for the reading of God's Word, I encourage you to do that. But if you don't, that'd be all right. Some of us have trouble standing anymore. But verse 1 says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid," as she sang the song, "I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wandering. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me." And you just underline that. "In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Man. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Yes. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living." Now, Father, add your blessing to the reading of the Word of God. Help us this morning to be able, Lord, to give something from your word that would be an encouragement to each one. We all need something. Lord, we need help. For we know that you're for us. We know that, Lord, we get afraid. We know that we have to trust you. And here this morning, as David of old penned this song, oh God, may we take it and may we apply it into our lives as well, that we will not forget you and that we'll remember how great and wonderful God that you are. And we'll thank you for all you do. Now, Lord, you know who needs help here this morning. You know that one that may be lost. You know that one, Lord, listening in, that may not be, Lord, where they ought to be with you in salvation. Oh, they've been maybe thinking about it, Lord, but they maybe have not really bowed and by faith received you as their living Savior, believing that you died for them. And then, our Father, this morning, there are those who are on the bed of affliction. There are those that are sick, and Father, they need some healing. I pray, Lord, for the healing of these. We surely are mindful of Linda. We are mindful of Shirley. We are mindful of Jason. We pray, and Father, that you'd be with them, with Patsy, with Cecil, all of these that are dealing with issues, Lord, that has afflicted their body. And we do ask you to remember Jeff Webb especially as well. And we'll thank you for all that you do here this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I wanted to, this morning, there just kind of dwell around that verse 8, for he said, "For this I know that God is for me." And boy, in the dearest time that we're going through here, surely we are mindful of our need for the Lord in our life. The virus continues to be the news of the world. Many have succumbed to the deadly virus this week even. And as a Bible believer, I know that God has appointed a time for each of us to pass from this life. Now, whether we are ushered into his presence through the effects of persecution, disease, or, in my part, old age, we will all face him eventually. And we all shall take appropriate caution in protecting one another. And at the same time, we should be prepared to lose our life in the service of the Lord. Continue to pray that God will help and see us safely through this time that we are. I like to look at it maybe as in a valley. We oftentimes here, if you understand what David is going through here, David's in a valley. Reference here, this psalm, goes back to the time when David was running from Saul. And if you know much about the life of David, it was a period in David's life that he had some difficulties. Now, I don't care if you as a child of God, there's going to be times in your life that you're going to go through some difficult times. There's going to be some times that you're going to be down in the valley. Remember, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What valley you may be going through today, maybe you're on the mountaintop, maybe. But most of us, oftentimes, we're struggling because of some issues in our life. A valley, oftentimes, is a place where things are a little difficult. I think David here, he went down to, you remember David, he started out with the Philistines down in Gath back when he was just a boy. Just a young boy, man. He went he came out of the from herding sheep to taking the head off of Goliath. And boy, he's on a mountaintop, isn't he? I mean, he has killed the great warrior of the Philistines. He has got victory for the army of Israel, and boy, the Philistines have been defeated. Now that's when he was born. Now some years have passed by. Now, he's been anointed to be king of Israel, but Saul is still king. Saul hated David about like the far-left news media hates Donald Trump. I mean, there's nothing that he could do in Saul's eye that would take away that distrust from Saul, that Saul wanted to kill him. Saul did not want him to reign in his place. And Saul made a determination that, hey, I'm going to get that boy. He's not going to take my place. And we got today all across our nation, we have got those who have been promoted to a place of authority, and now they want to make sure that they have the authority to do what they want to do, regardless of what the populace may think. I want to do what I want. I'll input my thoughts and my direction of what I think upon the country. And we're dealing with that. But Saul, David's got to run. Saul's about to get him. He has got with Jonathan, Saul's boy, David's good friend, and he understands that Saul is out to get him. And so he's going down. He takes off down to Gath. And there he runs into a fellow down there named Achish, the king of Gath. And keep in mind, these folks know David.
Sure.
Well, what's here? You go ride it into the camp. And here you find that Achish is saying, you know, what's he doing here? And I look at the intervention of God in this, as David starts out in his running away, that hey, God could have said, hey, he could have allowed Achish to do what he wanted to do, and that was to kill him. David saw that he wasn't going to make much headway. His life was in danger, and we all face danger. There ain't a day goes by that right, each of us right. Do not face the old hand of death. And that you don't know today if this is your last one or not. You don't know when you leave and go out and you have every intentions of doing things tomorrow. I've got our plans are for tomorrow and with that. But hey, you never know if they're going to be fulfilled or not. Sure. You don't know what tomorrow brings. And oftentimes into that you find that here that David flees Saul. He goes to He has to act crazy. Well, we do that. That's easy for a lot of us to do, isn't it? I mean, David is he gets out of there. God allows him to escape from Achish, and he goes out into the countryside, and so but Saul is not satisfied. He still, but it was you find it out there that though he David to be a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. While he's there in the wilderness, his men start coming to David of his household. of men that it says into that they were distressed. Men that were in debt. Men that were discomfited. Wasn't that like you and I? When we came to the Lord, wasn't we like that? Wasn't we needed help? That 400 men came to David and became his family, basically. And so David's got 400 men around him. And boy, you know, the story goes on. David flees to the king Achish in Gath, and that with his men after the Saul is still trying to get him. And now, keep in mind, this is all David is writing this Psalm 56 about his issues down in Gath with the Philistine. Remember that Achish said unto David, "Hey, did not we say that here that David had killed his 10,000 and Saul his 1,000 the Philistines?" I mean, he was an enemy to the Philistines, but now he needs protection. He's running to the... David gets out of the will of God. Can I say to you, right, most of the valleys that you're going to get into, you're going to get out of the will of God. Yep. It was not God's will for David to go to Gath to the Philistines. Right. And oftentimes we get into trouble when we pursue things on our own and we think what is the best when we begin to make our decisions. Right. And David had to come to realize that. In chapter 29 of 1 Samuel, the Philistine gathered the armies to battle to go against Israel. David has been with them for a year and 4 months. But no boy, the leaders of Gath said, "Hey," the Philistine said, "he cannot go with us." Now, Achish had come to like David. He had taken a liking to him and into that. And he wanted him to be able to go. But the leaders of the Philistine knew that David was not going to go against his own people. And we as Christians could understand some things. Oftentimes the world looks like that we get more involved and more helpful to the world than we are to one another. It looks like that we'd rather be able to help the world than we would to slay one of our brothers or sisters. I was just thinking a while ago how just a few months back that boy, we come in and we could be able to hug and be able to pat one another on the back, say, "How you doing, brother?" Be able to shake hands. How quickly things change.
Yes, sir.
And now we come in and we can't do that. And boy, I miss that. I'll tell you, Peter said, "Greet one another with a holy kiss." I don't know. I mean, boy, we can't do that now. We can't obey the word of God. But you take the things change, and in the life of David, he went from being a hero. He went from being a boy that's in the king's palace to where that he becomes hated, becomes on the run, and he's got to run to the enemy to get some... Now, sad to say that we run a lot of Christians to the enemy to get relief. It's sad to say that they cannot come to the house of God and be able to find the love and that they need from one another to be able to overcome some things in life. They have to run to the world to get it. Can I say to you and I today, let's learn a lesson. Let's be mindful that God has put us together for a purpose. We need one another. We, as the body of Christ, we are members of His body. And into that, God has placed each one of us here to do a work for Him and into that. And so David here, he runs to Becca here. Achish said, "David, you can't go." David had asked for a city. And into that, he had asked said, "Give me a place to take my people." And they gave him Ziklag. And he resided in a little town called Ziklag. And you know the story, how that they're going in to get ready to go into the army against Israel. David has got to leave. He's going to go back. He said, "You go back, get your things, and get out of the country." Okay, he goes back to Ziklag, and you know the story. How that when they get back to Ziklag, the Amalekites have come through. They have destroyed the city. They have captured his wives, the children of the men and of David. And boy, they've taken all the spoils. They're discouraged. There's weeping. There's hurt. Down in that valley, boy, I tell you, there's a lot of problems. You think back when Noah, Joshua was a battle in the Philistine down in the valley, and Moses was up on the top, and Aaron and Hur was having to hold his hands up. Right. When he had his hands up, Joshua was going forward and winning the battle. But boy, his hands get tired. And when his hands come down, the Philistine began to overrun Joshua. But they got Aaron and Hur got to have his hands up. Well, sometimes we need somebody to come by and hold us up.
Amen.
I don't care who you are. There's a time that instead of trying to win the battle by yourself, you need somebody to come by and say, hey, can you hold me up a little bit? Can you help me out a little bit? And that, and so say to us this morning here, David, as he gets out, his Israel has already turned against him. Israel he has become distaste to the mouth of the Israelites because he's gone to the Philistines. Now the Philistines have run him off. And now he's come back to get his belongings, his family, and to leave. And lo and behold, they're gone. Tough time, isn't it? You're going to find you're going to run into some times like that, to where you don't know which way to turn. There's going to be some times that in your life as a child of God, you're going to have to sit down and try to figure out, where do I go from now? The men that have to say, David, you're the cause of all of this. And you brought us out here and you let our family get murdered. I've been accused of murdering people. You have church and people come. You're just getting people killed. Well, no, I'm not getting nobody killed.
Right.
On that, we say the doors are open. If you want to come, come. Into that, we're going to try to have the doors open to worship God.
Amen.
Our first obligation is to the Lord.
Right.
And if David had come to understand that his first relationship was with God, he wouldn't have been down there in the Philistine country and having the Philistines to run him off, having his men to say that you're the cause of all of this. And you know, David, he encouraged, had to get away, encourage himself in the Lord. Well, oftentimes down in that valley, you're going to have to encourage yourself. Now let's look here real quickly. David had left the place that God had wanted him to be as he traveled to Gath. David is running from his problems. He's running away from God. David, into that spiritually, David is out of God's will. And have you ever been out of God's will? Have you ever been into her that you know that when you get out of God's will, you get into a valley. And then into that valley you go, and boy, I tell you, you don't want to put your prayer. You pray, but you know it's not going anywhere. Oh, you read your Bible, but when you get through, what have I read? And you come to where that spiritually you are not getting anything, and spiritually you're operating in the flesh.
Right.
And those where troubles really begin to arise, and that's where oftentimes that we stay. If you're not careful, you'll stay in that condition.
Right.
It's going to take. That's why we need church. That's why we need to assemble. That's why that into that desert will help you more than you coming together and getting around the Word of God and around people that love the Word of God and hearing the Word of God proclaimed, being able to see a smile, see a little someone say, hey, good to see you. Well, I like that, don't you? I like when somebody said, boy, it's good. But not a whole lot of people are going to tell me that they like to see me. But when somebody said, boy, it's good to see you, preacher. I like that. I like to be able to know that, hey, somebody is maybe been a help and don't know it. You're exercising a gift that God's given you, and you don't even maybe know that you're doing it. That's what the assembly is. Why, as a member, you're giving out something, and you may be that you don't realize what you're giving out. I see some folks say that. I tell you what, it's been a blessing to see some. I tell you, it's been an encouragement to me to see some. I make light of it. This virus has left the body of Christ down in the valley.
Yes, sir.
It's left us a wondering, God, what are you doing? Lord, when are you going to get this back to normal? But I was thinking too, you know, God, we was going along good, wasn't we? I mean, we could come to church when we wanted to, didn't go to church when we didn't want to. And that was good to have that freedom, wasn't it? Well, I can, you know, if I don't get the Lord this Sunday, I'll catch him next Sunday. If I don't get if I don't give a tithe this Sunday, I'll give it next Sunday. We take our relationship with God so to where that it doesn't have a whole lot of meaning to it.
Yep.
We don't have no conviction. We don't have that fervency. We come to the altar and pray, and we oftentimes pray the same thing, but there's no fervency. We come into that and say, boy, and I thank God that we can be able to come and to be able to kneel and pray. But hey, maybe the Lord said, hey, you had the opportunity. What did you do with it? You could have, there could have been some victories won if you had got out of your seat and come and sought the Lord. There's obstacles and there is distractions when you're down in the valley that keep you from God. So get out of the, in that. Start making some place to get out of that backsliding and get into spiritually minded. And remember, David said, I've got enemies. And these enemies, look what he said into that. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. And you and I, as a child of God, we have our enemies. And you got to fight those enemies on a daily basis. He talks about into that, put on the whole armor of God. How many of us strapped the armor of God on this morning? How many of us into that? Because he said we wrestle not against flesh and blood often, but against principalities and powers of the what have we done? And the average Christian today does not make any provision to go to the house of God and to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. We come in the flesh, we leave in the flesh, and we say, boy, well, that got me through to the next week. And nothing changes. Nothing changes. But David, although he's going through the valley, keep in mind, he remembers God's for me. God's for me. And could I say to you and I this morning that David began to obey God. He began to release his fear. He gets back to obeying the Word of God. How do I get out of the valley, preacher? Well, get back to the Word of God. Look what he said in verse 4. He said, in God, I will praise His Word. Oh, my soul. When's the last time you took that and you started doing a little praising about it, the Word of God? When last time you took that Bible and said, oh, my soul, this is my bread. This is the bread from heaven that I've got to eat, I've got to have. I'm tired of the milk. I know some meat. Jimmy gave you some meat this morning. You know, so you get into the Word of God, praising the Word of God, and thinking about how God went about to preserve that Word of God for you and I. David's got the Old Testament. He's got the Pentateuch, but he don't have the book of you and I. But he's got enough of the Word of God that he knows that it's real. He knows that it's helpful. He knows that it's going to deliver him. And David begins to praise the Word of God. He gets down there and he said he knows that God has anointed him to be king. His friend Samuel has died. He knows that that God is going to deliver him to that position one day. And boy, the Philistine army goes out to meet Saul and the armies of Israel. You know what happened? Saul didn't know that day was going to be his last. Samuel, into that you'll find, had already warned him. This day you're going to be with me.
That's right.
And that day, Saul and his boys got killed in the battle with the Philistines. Paved the way for David to go back to Hebron and to be king there. But before that, David is writing here in Psalm 56. While I'm down here in the valley and down here in Gath, he said, I'm going through some troubles. I didn't know that I was going to make it or not. I didn't know that where God is, if I'm going to be able to escape some things. And he said, I have put praise His Word. And boy, you get to thinking about the Word of God. Boy, you get to thinking about what Jesus said over in John 17. If you have your Bible for just a minute, you may want to turn there. But look at what Jesus said about the Word of God. Well, little page here. He said this. He said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. You and I, as a child of God, we are to keep the word of God. He goes down, he said, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me." Thank God that we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Thank God that we have the words of Jesus. Thank God that we have the word of God to be able to see how the Lord handled things.
Amen.
On that. And he said, "I have given them thy word." Oh, that's a reminder to you and I that as a child of God, as the voice for the Lord, that we are to give the word of God out. Thank God that we need to be praying for our missionaries that they get out and give. Well, I thank the government, boy, for giving me a big check. They didn't know they was going to be buying Bibles. And with that check that the Lord sent me, we were able to give to be able to print about 700 Bibles.
Amen.
And to be able to give the Word of God out. And that, you know, it's a government good. I mean, not all things are bad. On that, and we'll be paying for. I won't be, but Elliot be paying for it the rest of his life. But that's all right. On it, $20-some trillion we owe. I don't know if they can write it off or not, but hopefully they can. But anyway, the Word of God. Jesus said, "Give, I have given them Thy Word." And boy, that doesn't mean that you and I, though we're going through a pandemic virus, though we're all locked down. I was thinking about how David's, I started preaching on David's lockdown, but I didn't. But we're still able to get out. We're still able to do something. We're still able to lift up our voice as a trumpet and declare that thus saith the Lord God. This is truth. This is His word. And so David got to praise in the word. Boy, you and I, as independent fundamental Baptists, we ought to be able to praise the Word of God.
Amen.
It ought to be that you find that here he said, not only, he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth." Thy words is truth.
Right.
Now, if you want the truth, you're not going to get it. I don't care if you, I don't care what newsstand you listen to. You're going to get somebody's version of it. The truth is going to come from the Word of God. That I get humored sometimes by listening to the news and that they what they say that thing that about how you contact that virus has changed every week. I don't know. They got so many ways now that you can get it. Ain't no way that you can avoid it. See, so you just might as well go and live your life normal because you're not going to avoid that virus. It's out in your pets. I tell you, Carol got to stay away from her dogs. She got to have 6 foot distance. That ain't going to happen. On that, dogs are catching virus. Cats are catching virus. On that. And most of you got a dog or a cat. You got to keep that spacing. But no, the thing here that you have to be careful into that, God, are you my protector? I'm trusting you. That's what David said. My life is His here. The Philistines want me. Saul wants me. My men want me. Now, Lord, you're going to have to protect me.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes when you get down in that valley, you look around, and there's nobody there but you and the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And God is saying, I'm for you.
Yes.
I'm for you. Don't distress and don't get all worked up and don't get out of shape. I'm still for you.
Amen.
Aren't you
Amen.
Glad that God's a forgiving God and a merciful God? Aren't you glad, William, that God forgave you this week? Aren't you glad, Jimmy, that God is still showing grace toward you? Aren't you glad this morning that we could come and say, "Oh, God, I realize I've been a sorry Christian. I realize I've not come close to your son. I realize that he paid my debt. My sins have been forgiven. But, Lord, I sure haven't followed you like I ought to." I've got down into that. But there's an interesting thing here, that God said here, the message that David is believing God can change situations. I don't care what you're going through today. I know that you're going through, sometimes folks are going through this epidemic has brought problems in homes. It's thrown people together. They haven't been together all day for 10 years in their marriage, and they don't know how to handle one another. Fussing, fighting, and carrying on. And you got the guy that's got the addiction problems. Man, they got to have that help. They got to have that kick to keep them going. They got to run to the liquor store, to the drug clinics, or wherever to get a fix. I have to run, too, to get a fix. We all need fixes, don't we?
Yes,
we oftentimes, we're critical of that alcoholic, but you've never been there. Oftentimes we are critical of those that are overdosing and dying with drugs. Nobody in their natural, normal mind would do that. We've never been there. All I can say, boy, you shouldn't have got it. I told you not to get on it. Told you to leave it away. Told you that's of the devil. Yeah. And I tell you again today, stay away from it. Drinking and drugs is not for you. It's not for the human race. It's going to kill you. It's going to enslave you. Stay away from it. Stay away from it. And so into that real quickly here, the message here is simply that God is for me. And David said into that, you find here that he's trusted there that Jesus, I had to, went on there with him. He said, neither pray I for thee alone, but for them which also shall believe on me through their word. The words of the apostles, the words here of those fellow Christians that's gone on before us through their word. Thank God for men that hazard their life, men that defied governments, men that went defied pestilence and diseases to take the word of God to countries that needed to hear God's word. How many, you know, malaria. You go to, when I first started going to the Philippines. you're going to get the malaria. I probably got it a couple of times. But hey, you don't care. You don't worry about that. What are you worried about? Trying to get the gospel to somebody that somebody may get. And again, you're thinking about what have we done now? Our opportunity has come. Our forefathers are those that went before us, those that paved the way, those that went through the valleys and up to the mountains. You find that you hear that David said, no, Lord, keep my feet from falling. I've got to thinking on that. David now is up on the mountain. David has, he's coming out of the valley. He has seen the goats up in the rocks. You remember there was another place he said, give me feet like hinds' feet. He's seen the goats could walk upon those rocks without falling. He could see that they could nimble themselves away and around obstacles. And David here, I think, has been reminded again, Lord, give me feet that will keep me from falling. Boy, I tell you, we need our feet to going in the right direction. On that, David said, I want you to deliver me. Don't let my feet fall. Don't let me go down. Let me stay up on the mountain here. Let me be able to be the king of Israel. Let me be able to lead the nation. Let me be able to do something. And so why? God is for me. David should never went to Gath, but he did. And running away, he broke fellowship. And running ahead of God oftentimes will bring chastening to you and I, which is needful. Victory brings praises. And boy, we don't have time, but David is spared death. Saul is killed. David makes a commitment to live for God. He said that I may walk before God in the light of the living, keeping our testimony while we are alive. The truth is that all Christians, and especially those who have but little knowledge of the deceitfulness of sin and of the doctrine of Scripture, should be always on their guard. But why should we give good heed to little things in the Christian life? A fair question, may it be answered. Many things which seem to be as little are followed by the greatest consequences. One spark of fire has kindled a flame that has burned a city. Just a little spark. A word has often shaped the course of an empire or determined the destiny of a soul. Until we see the end of a thing, we cannot tell whether its effects will be great or small. As we face the time that we're living in here, we'll look back, if we're able to, and to see what effects it has had upon the body of Christ, upon the world. On earth, we see the end of nothing in moral causes. They are mighty. They take hold on eternity. Their sweep is everlasting. Their effects are much more certain than those of natural causes. Our greatest rivers have their rise in little springs whose streams are often buried under the leaves and shrubs. because it's not working for me, and men's character seem contemptible to many. But a leak, though not larger than a straw could go through, will sooner or later sink a ship. A scratch often has brought on inflammation that ended in death. A glance of the eye has led to crime that will not be forgotten while eternity endures. The greater part of human life is made up of acts that do not seem great in themselves. But the whole series completes the character. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. This morning, as we read the psalm here, can we say, as David said, though I'm going through a difficult time, though I'm going through some things, may we be able to say, as a writer of Hebrews, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord is on my side. Boy, saying, if God be for you, who can be against you? The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. And yea, though I walk through that valley of the shadow of death. And David was one that could be able to talk about that. As he gets delivered from the armies of death of the Philistines. As he sees his king perish. You and I will see some things as well sometimes that will not be enjoyable to watch. But hopefully that we'll be able to direct our lives to where Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will be magnified, and we'll keep our feet from falling as well. Let's stand, please.